Lord, as we open your word and prepare our hearts, help us to recognize the self-control that you demonstrated, the ability that you showed to hold your tongue even when you had a right to speak. We thank you, Jesus, that we can learn so much from you, but we also benefit so much from your act of love, mercy, grace. Thank you, Jesus. Today's passage is Mark 15, going to do verses 1 through 20. Mocked and misunderstood. He's already kind of been mocked. There's been this mock trial, this kind of a kangaroo court that took place overnight. And during that time, Peter finds himself denying that he even knows Jesus, and then feeling pretty terrible about that denial as he realizes what he's done, something that he had insisted and sworn that he would never do. How many of us make resolutions and have an attempt and a desire and even believe in our hearts of hearts that we're going to be able to either do something or not do something, and then we find ourselves on the wrong side of that resolution. And it's not a good place to be, but knowing the full story, Jesus loved Peter anyway, and he wasn't surprised by Peter's actions. He wasn't taken back. It was something that he knew would happen, and it didn't separate them from Jesus' side. It did separate them from Peter's side. And I think when we find ourselves wondering, where's God, maybe a little internal look on, okay, Lord, what have I done to prevent you from continuing to bless me? What have I done in such a way that the communication lines between us are broken? And if you're not sure how to get back to that, there's a lot of different ways. Nature is definitely one of them. Go out and spend time with creation and recognize that this is something God has made, and he can draw you back to him just by your honoring him, proclaiming that he's worthy because of the things he's done, the things he's made. If you have Christian friends, people that you know you can trust to just go and grieve with and weep with and pray with, that's another good way to find yourself drawn back to God, is by the company that we keep. We can certainly be drawn away from God by the company we keep as well. So here we move to chapter 15. Very early in the morning, page 1557 in the Pew Bibles, by the way, very early in the morning, the chief priests with the elders, the teachers of the law, and the whole Sanhedrin made their plans. They'd already had their mock trial overnight. They've made their decision. They're going to find a way to put Jesus to death. And they've condemned him on religious grounds, not something that they would be able to legally kill him for. In fact, the Jews, as much power as the Romans gave them, didn't really have the authority to take a life. That had to be something that the Roman courts would do. And so here, they've all gotten up early in the morning. They've already been up half the night. And they come together, and they've completed their plans. So they bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate's the governor. So here they've tied up the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and brought him to the governor. Again, by the way, it's remarkable to me the self-control Jesus shows through all of this, because at any time he could have said, come on down, angels, protect me. The angels that would have protected him, by the way, would have been better than any Secret Service. I mean, it's like they would know exactly how and what to do, and they would follow his command. And yet he didn't call them. That's okay.
Speaking of which, that must mean you're an angel, Larry.
There's some angels trying to call you. It's like, Larry, what's going on? Where's your beer? So they tie Jesus up and they bring him to Pilate. Pilate's like the governor there. Pilate asks, are you the king of the Jews? Because out of all of the different things that they were trying to accuse Jesus of, this is the only one that would really come to the point of possibly having a legal grounds for anything with the Romans. If Jesus is claiming to be a king, he's saying that he's taking over the authority of the government. And so Pilate's asking him, are you the king of the Jews? That would be treasonous. You have said so, Jesus replied. That's a little bit vague. It's really pretty clear from the previous chapter and from all the scripture. Jesus is saying, yes. Are you the king of the Jews? Yes. Yeah, it's just like you say. Chief priests accused him of many things. That, you know, they showed up, they've got him tied up there, and they're bringing him to Pilate, and they're telling him, you know, this, he did this and this and this. Does that sound familiar? It's like if you want to get somebody, you want to just kind of do the shotgun approach and accuse them of everything you can think of. So again, Pilate asked him, aren't you going to answer? See how many things they are accusing you of? And I'm sure Jesus could have easily given an answer to every one of those that would have shut their arguments down. He had done it consistently when the chief priests, leaders of the religious movement there would come to him and try to trip him up with his words. He always had an answer. And it kind of shut them down, and then they had to back off and come up with a different approach. Okay, what else can we accuse him of? What else can we try to manipulate him with? You know, all the stuff about, do you pay taxes? It's like, oh, we can get him on that one. You know, bring me a coin. Show me whose image is on it. Pay to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Does that sound like somebody that's trying to overtake the government? I mean, if you put him in balance there, it would have been real easy, I think, for Jesus to give answers. And yet he knew why he was there and where he was going, and he held back. But Jesus still made no reply, and Pilate was amazed. I think he'd probably seen a lot of people brought before him and accused of things, and every one of them, I'm sure, opened their mouths and tried to convince Pilate that they weren't guilty of what they were being accused of. I'm pretty sure I would open my mouth. A little bit of a twist in the plot here. It was the custom of the festival, at the festival, to release a prisoner whom the people requested. It wasn't a legal thing, they didn't have to do it, but it was kind of the custom. They're having the big Passover festival, and just to appease the masses, Pilate, and you know, he would annually, it's like, okay, we've got all these prisoners, would you like one of them back? Who would you like me to release? A man called Barabbas was in prison with the insurrectionists who had committed murder in the uprising. So these were some pretty bad people. They'd come and they'd tried to take over the government, and you know, they truly were treasonous. And during that process, murder had been committed. Bad things had happened, and Barabbas is one of their leaders, and he's locked up in there. The crowd came up and asked Pilate to do for them what he usually did. You know, can we keep this tradition of releasing somebody? Pilate asks, do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews? Knowing it was out of self-interest that the chief priests had handed Jesus over to him. He knew the duplicitous thoughts of these religious leaders, and he thought, well, maybe the people still like this guy and they would like him, and this would get the blood of Jesus off of Pilate's hands. If the crowd said, no, give us Jesus, he would have gladly done that. He did not want to convict Jesus. We learn in other Gospels that even his wife had come to him and said she'd had a vision, a dream, and not to harm this man. And he knew that Jesus wasn't guilty of anything. But he's trying to keep his power, He's trying to make sure that there's no sort of uprising. He's already had one problem, obviously, with Barabbas and these others. And he's got to find a way to kind of tamp down the tension within the Jewish community where he's been given the authority to be in charge. The chief priest had stirred up the crowd to have Pilate release Barabbas instead. It's like, okay, let's not take Jesus out of confinement. Let's have Barabbas, this guy that was part of a murderous insurrection. What shall I do then with the one you call the King of the Jews? Pilate asked. Crucify him, they shouted. He's kind of at a loss here. He's like, okay, but why? He knows nothing has been done worthy of death by Jesus. And what crime has he committed? Asked Pilate. Now, if he had really committed a crime, the people would have told him. But instead, they shouted all the louder, crucify him. Here's where Pilate really, I think, is at fault, his fear of man more than his fear of God. Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed over to be crucified. Jesus had already been beaten, blindfolded, beaten, mocked, spit on, all those things had happened at the religious meeting. You know, the church board meeting gone bad. He had had terrible things happen to him, but now this flogging goes to another level. It's something where you've got a whip with lots of strands on it and sharp objects at the end of those strands, and they would take a bareback, hit him hard, and then drag it across and tear the skin, tear the flesh. Being flogged was not something that anybody would want to go through, and it oftentimes people would die just from the flogging. Why would Pilate, who thinks Jesus is not guilty of anything, take that step? That makes no sense to me. Other than he just wants to satisfy the crowd, the words there that Mark gives us. He thought more of trying to keep his reputation than he did about doing the right thing. So he had Jesus flogged and he handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is the praetorium, big area where all of the military leaders would be, and called together the whole company of soldiers. It's probably about 600 soldiers here now. They put a purple robe on him. They're all getting in on this. This is most likely the same group of soldiers that had shown up in the garden to arrest Jesus and saw him, if they were paying attention, heal Malchus's ear that had been cut off. Saw Jesus willfully go with them. He's trying to protect his disciples, let them flee. And he's like, yeah, I'm here. You're coming to arrest me. You could have done this any time. I was in the temple every day. Wasn't trying to hide from anybody. Go ahead and take me. So here they are, these soldiers that really, at this point, I would think if they'd been paying attention, would have had some respect for this man. And instead, they put a purple robe on him. That would be to kind of imply that okay, here's royalty. Here's somebody that you're going to be called the King of the Jews. Let's play dress up. Then they gave him a crown, but it wasn't a normal crown. It was a crown of thorns. And the thorns there would be like an inch and a half long, very sharp, probably twisted crown that was made, and then they put it on his head. And those thorns pierce his head, and he starts to bleed some more. They begin to call out to him, Hail, King of the Jews! They're mocking him. Again and again they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. He's been beat, he's been flogged, he's being struck with a staff, he's got this crown of thorns, he's being mocked. falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. It's starting to sound like a Monty Python movie. Everybody playing their part. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. This is a dark time in so many ways, and yet when I look at this, he's misunderstood, he's mocked, he's beaten, scourged, treated in every way with contempt. And he could have stopped that at any time. And instead he thought about me, and he thought about you, and he thought about Peter and John and Andrew and all of the other disciples, and he's like, I need to go through this. I need to endure this so that they don't have to. He took on himself what we deserved. And he did it without speaking up and talking back, without defending himself, willfully going to the cross. Lord, I'm so grateful that you held back what any one of us would have done as far as trying to take revenge on these people that were mistreating you. You endured it to the point that I don't think any of us could have. And you did it out of love. Where I honestly believe, Jesus, that without you in those circumstances, the level of hatred that would be welling up within me would have been unthinkable. I probably would have died on the spot of reaction to the mistreatment, the injustice. Help us to always recognize, Lord, who you are and who we are and why we get to identify with you. Thank you so much. Thank you that we can celebrate communion together, knowing that it was you that laid your life down, the sacrificial lamb. Help us to go forward with joy and recognize that you've always loved us and will love us and will continue to throughout eternity. Amen.